Talk Show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn over the hump day, Wednesday. And in case you haven't looked at your calendar recently, we are exactly 3 weeks away from Christmas today. Christmas is on a Wednesday. So, wow, yeah. Not much time this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas because Thanksgiving was so very, very late. Well, listen, we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas foods and food safety and that sort of thing on the first portion of the program today. And we're very pleased to be able to welcome back with us on It's Your Turn, Mary Alice Gettings, who is a Penn State Extension educator and a Nutrition Links supervisor. Mary Alice, good to talk with you again.
Great. It's great to hear your voice and to be on again.
Well, it's a good time of the year to talk about food safety because a lot of folks are going to be obviously preparing holiday foods. Also, a lot of folks are going to be visiting either at homes of friends or family or maybe at corporate outings where there are going to be buffets. And so that's something we want to talk about today as well. In fact, let's start off by talking about party buffets. What are some of the dangers, Mary Alice, about food safety at party buffets?
Well, one of the things I would say is if you are doing the actual buffet and preparing for it, you want to make sure that you hold your foods at the right temperature. So if you're not holding them at any temperature, like you're not keeping things cold and not keeping things hot, then they can only be out for 2 hours, and then you have to put them back in the refrigerator. And if you pull them out again, you only have a total of 4 hours to be without temperature control. So that would be one thing. Now, if you have temperature control and your cold foods are, say, for example, in ice and they're being held below 41 degrees and your hot foods are being maintained a heat of 135 degrees or more, then you can leave them out as long as you want, as long as they stay out of that danger zone of 41 to 135. If they're in that danger zone for much more than 4 hours, then you need to throw them out. And the reason we say two to begin with is because usually you bring them back out. Mm-hmm. You do really have 4 hours, but we suggest getting them back in without temperature control for two, getting them cooled down again. So that would be one thing. And then the other thing is that if you have hot foods that need to be cooled, you want to either cut them into smaller pieces, put them in smaller bowls, put them in shallow pans so that when they go into your refrigerator, they can cool down quickly. So that's another key. They really should get to 70 degrees within 2 hours. And if you think about if you make a pot of chili, you don't want to put a big pot of chili into the oven or into the refrigerator. You want to put it into smaller containers. It's the same concept. Mm-hmm. You don't want to put something hot in a refrigerator because that'll heat up the refrigerator.
Now, you mentioned temperature control when you have items out, spread out on a buffet. So if you have a hot food, a hot buffet item, I assume you could have some of those candle-like things that burn on on fuel.
Sternos.
Yeah, Sterno. I was trying to think of
the
brand name. Sterno, which would keep it warm enough that you'd be safe. Cold foods, what do you do? Put them in a bowl of ice or something?
That would be fine. In ice, yep. But, you know, like sometimes. Or sometimes now they actually, you can buy, like a double insulated type of container that you can put water in between the layers and you put it in the freezer and that's like your ice.
Oh.
There's those kind of things, or you can just put it in another bowl of ice, like take a little bit, a bigger bowl, put some ice in there and then set your other bowl inside. Like if you had a big, shallow pan, so say you're buying disposable shallow pans, buy one and put ice at the bottom and then set the other one on top. So that would work well.
Oh, yeah, that's a neat trick. So with stuff you want to keep cold would be, and I'm not a cook, Mary Alice, so you have to help me here. This would be something like macaroni salad or potato salad or something like that?
Yes, anything that you typically would put in the refrigeration to keep cold, you need to keep it cold on a buffet also. If you don't keep it cold, you need to put it back in the refrigerator within 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But anything, the other thing is people talk about macaroni salad and potato salad, chicken salad, ham salad, all those kind of things, and they think it's the mayonnaise that makes them sick. It's not the mayonnaise. We used to make homemade mayonnaise, and when we did that, we used raw eggs. That's when the mayonnaise was a problem. Today's mayonnaise, if you're using a store-bought mayonnaise, the acidity is high enough in that mayonnaise that it doesn't promote bacterial growth. So what's in the salads is things like the eggs in macaroni and potato salad, or the ham or the chicken, or a shrimp salad or something. It's those kind of things that are what promote the bacterial growth in.
That's interesting, because I always thought it was the mayonnaise too that you had to worry about.
It's not anymore. It's the protein source that is the so bacteria like foods that are high in protein and some carbohydrates that are high in moisture and have the right pH, and meats and poultry and eggs and things like that, they all have the right pH. They're moist and they're high in protein, so bacteria love them. And when they're in that danger zone of 41 to 135, every 20 minutes that bacteria doubles. So if you have one bacteria, which is usually typically, you're not only going to have one bacteria, you're going to have hundreds, but I have something when I teach my classes, I start off with one bacteria, and in a matter of 3 hours, that one bacteria turns into 512 bacteria in 3 hours. So if you have a couple hundred bacteria on something, you could have millions of bacteria within 3 hours if it's sitting between 41 and 135.
We're talking with Mary Alice Gettings, a Penn State Extension educator, and we're talking about food safety and precautions during the holidays. Now, obviously, for hot foods, we will be talking turkey, ham, stuff like that. What about casseroles? Do they have to be, you have to worry about temperature
anything
control
that
there?
You would want to eat warm, and you need to keep it above 135 so the bacteria doesn't grow. Yep, and you can use the sternos. You know, some people keep things on an oven top. Again, that might not keep it above 135. It depends on if the burners are on, but, there's some safety issues there. But typically, a lot of people will buy fried chicken and from a store. And some people like cold fried chicken. So if you have cold fried chicken, or if it's not being temperature maintained, again, you need to put it in the refrigerator within 2 hours if it's not going to have that temperature control.
This is good advice for me, because I can't tell you how many holiday gatherings I've been at, at Christmas time, particularly with ham. I mean, in our family and circle of friends, it's usually turkey at Thanksgiving and ham at Christmas. But how many times do you see the ham, left out after a meal or left out on a buffet for the entire party or whatever?
Yes.
Be careful.
And it's not being temperature controlled.
Yeah.
If it's being temperature controlled, that's fine. If it's staying above 135, you're set. But if you don't have temperature control, then that really should get put in the refrigerator within that 2 hour time frame.
So
everybody needs to eat, and then you put the food away. And actually, that's good for your waistline too. If you put all the food away, you can't be snacking as much on all that different buffet food, right?
Yeah, we have some more tips on snacking coming up with Mary Alice. I just wanted to check, though, while we're wrapping up the food bacteria thing. What kind of food bacteria are we talking about here specifically?
Well, there's a lot of different types, but one of the ones that we worry about when it comes to poultry is Salmonella and Campylobacter. And the thing about Campylobacter, and I just have to tell you, I was at Thanksgiving dinner at somebody's house, and they only cooked the turkey to 150, and he cooked it at 250 the whole time, and it was not baked, and he served it anyway. It was not up to 165, and he served it anyways. So you know how much people listen to me. But Yeah, he was being stubborn and saying it's fine. So, but Campylobacter, you know, can somebody, so my perspective is this is extended family people. I said, you know what? For those people that ate that turkey, they could get sick up to 10 days later because Campylobacter is a bacteria that incubates in your system for 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks before you get the symptoms. Most people think that the last food they ate is what caused them to get sick. But in reality, something like Campylobacter can be in your system for 10 days before you show the symptoms. So they're not in the clear yet. And so that's one. So that's more. Now, the other thing is Listeria. Listeria is in some soft cheeses. We don't have to worry so much about the hard cheeses like cheddar. But any type of soft cheese, they need to be kept, you know, if you're not going to have some temperature control with soft cheeses like brie and goat cheese, that needs to be put back in the refrigerator within 2 hours because there's a bacteria that likes temperatures that are refrigeration temperatures. Most of our bacteria like temperatures above 41 degrees, but there's a bacteria called Listeria that likes refrigeration temperatures. And so that bacteria can actually grow in the refrigerator. And that's one of the reasons why you need to eat your leftovers within 2 to 3 days. Because if Listeria is in your refrigerator and it likes growing on some of those soft cheeses and things like that, it could, if it gets contaminated into your refrigerator surfaces for some reason, it could get onto other foods. So that's why you want to eat your food within 2 to 3 days, all your leftovers. And so staph bacteria, there's all kinds of different staph bacteria, but the one we talk about with food is in people's noses and on their skin. And some people just are carriers of that bacteria. So if that gets into your food because people have sneezed or they've rubbed their nose and then made a salad, if the food sits out too long, that bacteria grows and can make you sick.
And that's Staphylococcus, huh?
Yeah. It's called Staphylococcus aureus because you hear a lot of people will get staph infections like from a wound.
Yeah.
This is a different type of bacteria. It's a similar bacteria but a different strain. There's a different type of strain on your skin versus something that you know, might come when you're in the hospital and you get a wound staph infection. It's a different strain of bacteria.
This is important stuff, folks. I mean, how many times have you been to a holiday party or a buffet where there's the cheeses all set out, you know? Sometimes they're little chunks, you know, like cubed cheese. Careful, careful. And I had no idea, Mary Alice, that some of this stuff could be in your system for up to a week and a half before you showed any symptoms. I thought it was like a couple of hours, you know.
And a lot of times it is. For most bacteria, you're going to see anywhere from 30 minutes to maybe 6 hours. But there are, like, for example, hepatitis, which, you know, that can affect the liver, can be in your system for 6 weeks before you show the symptoms. But Campylobacter and hepatitis are two that really have an extended incubation period, we call it, while it's in your system and it doesn't show its symptoms for a little bit longer of a time.
What would be the early symptoms? Stomach cramps or something like that?
Absolutely. It's interesting because when I took the ServSafe course when I started at Penn State in 94, the instructor was a food science professor at Penn State, and he went to a restaurant up at Penn State somewhere, and he got a chicken salad sandwich, and he said it was room temperature, and he knew he shouldn't eat it, but he ate it anyways, and he ended up with Campylobacter. And it came on within about 10 days, and he lost about 30 pounds in about 2 weeks. And out, like within the 2 weeks of eating it. So he was very, very sick. The thing about Campylobacter is we don't hear about it as much as we do Salmonella, but there is a significant incidence of Campylobacter in the United States, and it makes you pretty darn sick. It's Salmonella, and you don't need as much Campylobacter as Salmonella, so it's a little bit easier to get sick with Campylobacter than it is with Salmonella, but it just takes a little longer to show up, and you get really, really sick.
We have more to talk about. We have to take a quick break here, but when we come back, I want to talk with Mary Alice about, I'm sure most of you have seen these commercials on TV where you can order food by mail, meat even. I've always wondered about that. How do they keep that safe? Well, we'll talk about it in just a minute. Back with more on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after this quick break. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler. to talk about prearrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Talking about food safety, particularly over the holidays, but food safety in general, with Penn State Extension educator Mary Alice Gettings, who joins us on It's Your Turn today. Well, I mentioned before the break, Mary Alice, it was just the other day that I was flipping through the channels on my TV, and I was on, I don't know, Home Shopping Network or QVC, mm-hmm. one of those things, and they were, because, you know, they're usually selling electronics, computers, whatever. They were selling cookies. You could, you know, buy cookies through the mail. And I'm sure everyone has seen these commercials for meat. You know, you get steaks and burgers and all that stuff through the mail. And I've always wondered, how in the heck do they keep that safe whenever you're getting something through the mail?
Yeah, and you know, and so many of us, even throughout the year, get meal kits now. People will order meal kits and they come. And I did that one year. And it did not come on the, it came like 2 days after it was supposed to come. And I said, I want to send this back because it's probably been out in the mail and some mail post offices. Yeah. And that meant the ice melted. And in the summer, we worry about this a lot. Now in the winter, if our outside is 32 or 41 degrees or lower, your food's going to be okay. But we have days that the sun might be shining on the box, even though it's 41 degrees or lower outside. When the sun is shining on a box of food that's high in protein, things like what we were talking about before, then you might have an issue. So the best thing to do is to make sure when you are ordering food for to be delivered to your house, that there's somebody there to receive it when it's expected delivery. You can now track your deliveries. And then if you can get it delivered to your office, if you work and you want to get it delivered to your office, that's fine as long as the office has the refrigeration for you to put whatever it is you've ordered in the refrigerator until you go home. But they typically do a good job when it comes to packing them. You know, they should be packed with a cold source, like ice packets. You know, just, I get some things where I get actually probiotics in the mail, and they actually wrap them in plastic, and then they wrap them in some, like brown paper, mm-hmm. and then they have an ice pack with them. And then they should also be in a heavy corrugated cardboard box to try to keep that cold inside. And ideally, it should be overnight. You should be getting this kind of stuff overnight. It shouldn't be taking 2 or 3 days because there's no way the cold source is going to stay cold for 2 or 3 days. So that's, even when you're looking at things like smoked or cured or vacuum packaged and fully cooked things, they still need to be packaged and kept below 41 degrees in transit.
What about if you're sending stuff? There are, and I know a number of people in my circle of friends and family who will cook or bake something and then send them out to other family members or friends as Christmas gifts. You need to take proper precautions there when you're packing these things up to mail them out, right?
So if they're baked goods and they don't have anything cream in them, like, you know, if you're making anything with a cream, like with milk and eggs and things like that, you would want to make sure those stay below 41 degrees. But if it's cookies or breads or things like that, that's fine. You don't have to have temperature control. But if there's something that you're sending that should be kept below 41 degrees, you would store it below 41 degrees or lower. That needs to be in a double corrugated box. You need to possibly use some dry ice. Send it overnight. Make sure you package it in 2 layers of brown paper. And so, and make sure that the outside says keep refrigerated on the outside of the box. And let your recipient, the person you're sending it to, let them know that they should be expecting a package from you. You don't have to tell them what it is, but that, you know, you should be home, or somebody should be able to accept it for you. Mm-hmm. So it's not sitting on the on offside.
Now, there are some foods that would not necessarily need to be refrigerated if you were sending them as a gift, like hard salami or country ham or something like that?
Well, yes. They don't require refrigeration, but they do. It is still best to have some ice in there to keep it under 41. But they don't need to be refrigerated when they're being delivered. So, you know, some of a lot of these trucks have refrigeration. And so they'll put, if you have keep refrigerated, they'll put it in a refrigerated area for you. At least we hope they do. But even, foods that don't require refrigeration in transit should still have an ice pack within the package.
Hmm. We're talking with Mary Alice Geddings, Penn State Extension, educator. Does Extension provide any guidance to people if they wanted to get more information on this in terms of what's safe to pack or that sort of thing, Mary Alice?
Yeah, well, we have a great brochure on our, if you go Penn State Extension, just look up Penn State Extension, we have a wonderful brochure that's not really addressed in this, but what to do when your power goes out, which we a lot of times use. There's a food safety brochure on that. We also have some other topics like tailgating, but my suggestion is if you really want a lot of this information specific to the holidays, go to the United States Department of Agriculture website and just put USDA food safety. You can search that, and you'll have all kinds of information that comes up. Also, the website Fight Back, FIGHTBAC.org, has a lot of great information for the public, and they have a lot of games for kids, too. So it's a really great website.
One other quick tip, if you're baking or preparing stuff that you want to send out to family and friends as holiday gifts, it's a good idea not to send your packages at the end of the week. And I guess when you think that through, that's pretty much common sense, isn't it, Mary Alice?
Right, absolutely. Because you don't want them sitting in the post office over the weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, send them at the beginning of the week and let the person know that they're going to have a package arriving. Everybody gets excited for packages, right?
Yeah, I do. I know that. Let's talk a little bit in the minutes that we have left here to chat with Mary Alice Geddings, Penn State Extension educator. Let's talk about some tips to try to how do we put this delicately, Mary Alice? How to keep from...
limit the weight gain.
Yeah.
Let's try to limit the weight gain.
Everybody...
Or at least keep our weight the same. That's the key, because nobody should expect to lose weight between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. It's too darn hard with all the temptations. But there's some things that you can do. You know, one of the things is weigh yourself every day. If you weigh yourself every day, you can start to see if the scale is creeping up, and then you can make decisions that day based on, you know, is it worth eating this for an extra couple pounds that I might gain in the next couple days? So, I mean, we used to tell people not weigh themselves, but there's been research that has found out that if you do weigh yourself every day, you tend to pay a little bit more attention to your daily choices. And actually that they say that women, particularly women who step on the scale every day, act accordingly, either increase their exercise or their, meaning they increase their exercise or they're a little bit more strict with their food, are 82% less likely to regain any weight that they've lost as compared to people who don't weigh themselves. So it is a positive thing that you can do to try to keep yourself on the straight and narrow.
And if you get into the habit of doing it, you know, as part of your morning routine, just keep the scales at a prominent place in the bathroom there, and you step on them, and it only takes a couple of seconds. And once you get into the habit of doing that, it just becomes part of your regular routine.
And it does. And, you know, the other thing is make sure that you weigh yourself at the same time every day without clothes on and after you pee, because you don't want to... You want to make sure you empty your bladder to give you a real number. So, but definitely no clothes on, pee, get on the scale, and then hop in the shower.
So that's one good bit of advice. You also suggest, I kind of chuckled when I read this, but it makes sense, zip yourself into your favorite pair of slim-fitting pants once a week during the holiday season.
Yep. Yep, and you know what? I think of back when I was growing up, we did not have sweatpants. We wore jeans after school. I went to Catholic school, so I'd put a uniform on during the day. I'd come home, and I would zip up a pair of jeans in the afternoon or a pair of shorts. We didn't have sweatpants. And so I think that might be the ruination of our country when it comes to putting on sweatpants, because they expand, but jeans don't necessarily expand too much. So if you put on that pair of jeans or a pair of pants and zip them, you can zip them up and they're not getting too tight every once a week, then you're in good shape. So, yeah, it's just a good idea to do between Thanksgiving and New Year's to just put those little bit tighter pants on and see how they're fitting.
Another good idea, eat before you go out to a holiday party, right, Mary Alice?
Absolutely, because if you have like a piece of fruit before you go out, like an apple always fills me up, then you tend not to eat as much at the party. And then when you do go to the party, try to, like if they have soup, eat some soup first, because there is a theory that your body wants a certain amount of volume per day, and liquids tend to give you more volume, and fruits and vegetables, because there's more water in there. So that really helps you with the volume, the volume that that your body prefers each day. And so if you get some soup in and some salad, then you may not eat as much of the other stuff that tends to be high in calories. And then I always tell people, You know, we were talking about macaroni salad and potato salad. If you can get macaroni and potato salad all year, you know, don't eat those at your party. Eat the things that you don't get every year. You know, the things that are more specialty foods at the holidays. Eat those and enjoy those and take small portions. Another theory is that you eat one food at a time. Because if you eat a lot of different foods, then your taste buds don't get kind of dulled out by a taste. But I've been starting to do this, trying to eat one food at a time, and then your taste buds really enjoy that, and it kind of dulls out after about 8 or 9 bites. You don't really have a desire for that food anymore.
Here's another good tip from Mary Alice. Don't go hungry to the mall. Because, boy, all of a sudden you get in the mall and you're smelling the, those hot pretzels, the cookies and everything else that's being offered in the food court, and it's hard to resist, isn't it?
So I'm losing you here. Too many things at the mall, particularly this time of year, you have, the places that have the meats. And there's, all kinds of snack places, and people are giving out a lot of samples. Just be cautious, because if you go to the mall hungry or even the grocery store hungry, you may end up eating some of those really high-calorie foods, even when you're not hungry. That's the thing, is you eat a lot of this when you're not even hungry. And then I would also say is just be cautious of some of the fast foods. Try to sit down and eat a nice meal rather than going to a fast food. But again, make good choices when you're in those restaurants.
Here's one final tip, and I know this is a temptation for me. I don't know about your Penn State Extension office, Mary Alice, but here at the radio stations, this time of the year, there's somebody always brings something, and they put them in the break room, whether it's candies or cookies or whatever, all kind of goodies on view in the break room. And that's hard to pass those by. Most people, will walk past that several times during the workday. So
absolutely. And there was a study that said people ate 26% more Hershey Kisses when the candies were in clear dish versus a white one, and when people couldn't see them because it wasn't in the clear dish. And when the chocolates were placed 6 feet away, the average person ate only 4 a day as opposed to 9 a day when they were within arm's reach. So, I always say I can't have candy on my desk. I would have it all eaten in one day because once I start, I can't stop. So, you know, and again, when there's a lot of cookies around, you know, if you're going to have something, pick the cookies that you don't get. You know, you can usually get chocolate chip cookies throughout the year, but maybe take some of the cookies, a couple tastes of the cookies that you don't get all the time throughout the year. But it's really hard around this time of year. And again, if you can maintain your weight during this time, you've accomplished a great goal.
Yeah, don't be unrealistic. Don't try to lose weight during the holiday season, but if you can maintain, then you've won the battle. Hey, some good advice
Absolutely.
For us, not only with the weight tips, but also for food safety during the holidays, Mary Alice. Very informative. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Well, thank you, and have a wonderful holiday.
And you too. Thanks. Bye-bye now.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mary Alice Gettings, Penn State Extension educator, visiting with us today. She is also the Nutrition Links supervisor for Penn State Extension, Mary Alice. More to come on It's Your Turn. We'll take a break. We're going to be talking about the Caring Angel campaign, which is back once again this year at Butler Health System. So please stick around. We'll be back to meet our next guests in just a couple of minutes.
Leave the driving up to us.
The
We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The
We're going your way.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, you know, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Welcome back, good friends. It's always nice to visit with you on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey, and guests join us here in the studio today to bring us up to date on the Caring Angel campaign, which is once again underway under the umbrella of the Butler Health System Foundation. And Chris Bowser is here from the foundation. As I said hello to Chris, bringing her into the studio here just a few seconds ago. Why, Chris Bowser, it must be Christmas time.
That's right. It is.
Must be time for the holiday campaign.
Yes, it is.
And also with us is Carol Oshinsky, Senior Vice President with Next Year Bank. And Carol, Next Year has chosen the Caring Angel campaign as the spotlight nonprofit of the month here for December.
Absolutely. It's kind of our staple holiday event. I mean, we look forward to supporting the Caring Angel program. And since I've been at the bank, which is going to be 23 years, we've been involved with Caring Angel. And it's such a good program because it helps so many in our community.
Oh, yeah, it's a great program. And Caring Angel has been around here longer than you've been involved with it.
That's
I know
right.
that, Chris.
Yeah. That's right. 22 years.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, I think I've been there about 20. So I've been there for most, but not all.
Explain the Caring Angel program for our listeners who might not be familiar with it.
It goes to support charitable medical care to children under the age of 18 that come through the emergency room at Butler Hospital that do not have insurance or resources to pay, and also supports family services at Butler Health System, and they offer many programs for families there.
And this has been over the years, well, I guess we could say over the decades now, Caring Angel has been a very, very successful fundraising campaign.
Yes, it's grown so much, and we're raising over 100,000, usually 120 or 30. Actually, our big basket auction now is raising almost as much as the whole campaign used to raise. So last year, the baskets raised 80,000, and then the 50-50 went to 30,000, and that was just in our 1 week period. So then we have, in addition, all the schools and chocolates and banks and other people that donate as well.
Well, speaking of the basket campaign, that's got to be coming up pretty quickly here.
It is. Typically, we would be in it right now, but it was delayed this year due to some room situations. But it's going to start on Tuesday, December 10th, and it'll go through Tuesday, December 17th.
And by the way, if you're like me, I can't believe it's December 4th already.
I know.
So December 10th is next Tuesday. It's this coming Tuesday. That gets underway. So tell us about the basket campaign. What's this all about?
So what we do is a lot of the different departments, physician offices, paramedic services, they'll go together and they put together. Now, we say baskets, but they're not baskets. I'll go over what some of those are going to be this year. They donate those. We usually have over 50. And then the community employees, people can come in and buy tickets to win the basket. So we have a drawing then. This year we'll be announcing the winners on December 18th on Wednesday.
It's like a raffle. You buy tickets and you can put your tickets in whichever basket you would really like to win.
Yes, the tickets are 25. Tickets for $10. We haven't raised our price, I don't think, ever. So it's the same price that it's always been. You buy a sheet now of tickets. You just write your name one time, and then all the tickets match that number that you give us with your name on it.
Well, that's a convenience, because I can remember having to sit there and put my name and phone number on countless tickets for a basket raffle.
Yes.
So,
right?
That's great. You only have to do it once, one time.
Yeah, people used to bring their labels in and label
other labels. Yeah. Yes.
And now you don't have to do that. So that makes it real convenient.
Where can people, because this is, general public is encouraged to participate here.
Yes.
Where can you get these tickets?
We'll be in the Nixon Sarver classrooms at the hospital, which is located right off of the tower lobby entrance.
Mm-hmm.
We're just in that room, and you can come in and buy your tickets right there.
And they're available now?
They're available. No, not until Tuesday morning.
Oh, okay.
We open on Tuesday, December 10th, we'll open at 7 a.m., and that's when the ticket sales start. We'll be open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on the weekdays, and then 11 to 3:30 on the weekend.
And when will you be drawing the winners of these various baskets?
We'll draw the evening of Tuesday, December 17th, once we close the room, and then we call all the winners in the morning of the 18th.
Mm-hmm. So the basket campaign lasts for about a week?
About a week. And then our 50-50, we haven't, that's just been about the past 5 years that we've been doing that. And that's really grown to last year where it went up to over $30,000 with the winner receiving $15,000. That was really busy last year. So we're expecting that to go up this year.
So do you know yet to what some of these baskets, quote-unquote baskets, are going to contain?
I do. I brought the list. It's a work in progress, but we have... let's see, we have a Yeti cooler with all kind of accessories to go with it, Yeti tumbler, sleeping bags, mountain pie makers, tent, et cetera. So that's that one.
That's all in one basket.
Yes, and so they're not baskets. That's right, that's a basket. That's Yeti camping and tailgating. We have a 40-inch smoker, $50 Slater meat gift card cookbook. That one's called Smoking Good Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I saw kayaks on here. We have one that's a Southwest gift card and a hotel gift card with a carry-on suitcase and different things to go with that. That's called Christmas Vacation. So we have 50 of these, so I won't read them all, but that gives you an idea of the different things that we have. We have a generator coming. We had one of those last year. That was real popular.
Yeah, because last year we had the big power outage right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we did. So that we have that again. That's donated by our maintenance department,
which makes perfect fitting. Yeah,
yeah. So our department, the Foundation PR Marketing, we donate 2 tickets to the Crystal Ball, which will include which has our fundraiser, gala fundraiser in March, and that includes an overnight stay at the DoubleTree and the tickets.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We have all kind of stuff. United We Stand, it has a wooden flag and all kind of you know, American things to go with it. So I could go on and on, but, you know, you get the picture.
The point is, these are not small potatoes baskets. Yeah. In fact, they're not really baskets. They're, is this list or these baskets on display? The people can see, you know, what they'd like to take a chance on.
So the baskets will be on display when you come in the room. You'll be able to see them. And then starting that Tuesday morning, the day we open, you'll also be able to go onto our website and view the baskets online. You cannot purchase tickets online, but you can view the baskets.
Mm-hmm. And the baskets themselves will be on view
right inside the room. We set up. We take over the whole room.
Mm-hmm. And that's just inside the tower entrance.
Yeah, you just go over to the right. We have a lot of signage, plus the greeters will direct you. So somehow people always seem to find us.
And that's pretty much the main entrance to the hospital anymore, isn't it?
We still call it the new, but it's not really new anymore, but the tower. Yes.
I still call it the new as well.
Yes.
By the way, that tower is just amazing.
Yeah.
That's super duper. There is still a Brady Street entrance to the hospital.
There is, and that's a nice lobby as well. Mm-hmm. Yes. Actually, there's a lot of the hospital auxiliary. They hold a lot of their fundraisers in the Brady Street lobby. It's a real nice area for that. They do all those different sales. So,
So how is Next Tier Bank, Carol, involved in helping out, even in a small way, the Caring Angel campaign?
Yes. As our Spotlight Sponsor of the Month, we showcase you throughout our branch network, which means we have signage, and, you know, our customers now look forward every month to knowing who the new Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month is. And then we sell delicious chocolate-covered pretzels. They're made by a local company, Pfluger's Chocolate, and we sell them for $1. We have to pay for them, so they get 50 cents. We pay 50 cents, so it's a great way to give back to the community, and specifically this month to Caring Angel campaign. We have Jeans Day that our employees participate. So it's a real community event.
By the way, it's no penance to buy a Pfluger. I know Pfluger's chocolates, they're very, very good.
They're delicious. Yeah. They really are. So people just, I think, come in to say they're supporting the Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month, but I think they're really satisfying their sweet tooth. and salty, too. Because, you know, with the pretzel, you get the combination. They're delicious.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit more specifically about where the money goes that's raised in the Caring Angel campaign each year. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR, and we'll be back after these words.
Tobacco for Less is perfect if you like to think big. Tobacco for Less is Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium, which has hundreds of glass pipes, a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a huge selection of cigars, and a 19-foot vape juice bar. They're always stocked with standard tobacco products, and their health and wellness department maintains a wide selection of CBD products. Tobacco for Less is always expanding and adding to their product lines. Be sure to check out their Sharon location that has just added a large health and wellness department. Stop by one of their locations in Butler, Sharon, or Aliquippa for all your smoking and vaping needs.
And happy holidays from Tobacco for Less.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department at 724-284-2020 and ask them about their first-time home buyer program that allows a minimum down payment of only 3%. Don't have time to call or visit? Simply apply for a mortgage online, armcocu.com. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
It's the Wednesday edition, and it's your turn here on WISR. Dave Mulharkey is my name, with us here in the studio, Chris Bowser from the Butler Health System Foundation, and Carol Lachinsky is here as well, Senior Vice President at Next Tier. Next Tier Bank has selected the Caring Angel program as the Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month. So, all told, the Caring Angel program has raised well over $1 million now, right?
Right. We're actually closer to $2 million now, because we're over 20 years. So, and I did just want to take a minute and say, you know, thanks to Next Tier Bank, and Carol herself has been involved ever since I've been there. So for over 20 years, and they've been supporting Caring Angel. So we do appreciate their support. And it's through businesses such as theirs and the whole community that we've been able to raise all those funds.
Yeah, there was a time several years ago, and I guess it is quite a few years ago now, that we used to do a TV.
You and I did it, yeah. It was fun. I know. I really enjoyed that. It was kind of like one of my traditions of, you know, holiday traditions, and I do miss that.
I think that's where I first met you, Carol.
I think that is, yeah.
We used to do that show from the Butler High School TV production studio.
That was the first place, and then we went to the Clearview Mall.
Yes.
And we did it at the Clearview Mall, and just seeing all those kids, because a lot of the kids would come from the various schools, and they would talk about the money they had raised, and it was just, it gave you such that warm holiday feeling.
Mm-hmm. And we were able to do that thanks to the good graces of Armstrong,
another
company that's very involved in community service. So, speaking of the kids and the schools, do we have some schools involved trying to raise some money this year?
We do. We have the Butler School District has always been very involved. The senior high is actually just amazing. They'll raise over $10,000 every year just doing all. They do a lot of different fundraisers within the school.
They've come up with some.
They come up with
different and funny stuff. Didn't they have an ugly man contest a few years ago, or was it a handsome man? I don't know.
I don't remember.
One of the two, I think.
I know they auction off food, and they do powder puff, and they do all kind of things. So it's really amazing what they do. And then the elementary schools mostly raise their money from selling the chocolate angels. And some of them will do a few fundraisers within the school, but it's mainly that. And then we have the Slippery Rock School District participating by selling the chocolate angels also.
Nice to have the young people involved in this, because it instills in them, I think, at an early age, the importance of community involvement.
Mm-hmm. I've always been really impressed by what the Butler School District does in teaching philanthropy to the children. I think it's been a great partnership, and we're not the only charity they support. Mm-hmm. I know they do. They support a lot of other charities as well. So we're proud to partner with them.
And that takes a lot of collaboration with not only school building principals, but teachers and so on.
Right. That's right, because a lot of, like, within the school, then they always have a few liaisons who coordinate all the activities, and then they have to collect all the money and get that to the school district office. And we used to, as Carol mentioned, the TV show, they used to bring it to the TV show, but now we have them turn it in up at the district office.
Mm-hmm. So many of those campaigns are probably wrapping up by now, right?
The schools actually are just getting started. With Thanksgiving being a little bit later, they all have received their chocolates last week, and now they're actually starting this week with their sales.
That has thrown a clunker into everybody's schedule this year.
It really has.
Thanksgiving being a week later this year than it was last year. And suddenly, Thanksgiving has just come and gone, and already we're getting close to Christmas.
Three weeks
from today.
Oh, my goodness. That's true.
Christmas is on a Wednesday.
Gosh,
Carol looks at me.
I know, deer in the headlights.
Yeah. 3 weeks from today, trust me. Look at your calendar. So you mentioned, Chris Bowser, that some of the funds that are generated down through the years from the Caring Angel campaign go to help cover the costs of uninsured kids coming to the emergency room. Right.
Yes. A portion goes to that, and then we support the family services program. And they have individual and family counseling, intensive outpatient program for children with the ADHD. They have parent-child interactive therapy, which teaches parents how to improve their parent-child relationships. And then they do a lot of other things there, a lot of counseling support services for families.
Family services, is it still located in the old Armory building?
It is, yes.
You talked about referring to it as the new tower.
Right.
The old Armory. My goodness, it's been 25 years, maybe more, since that was an Armory.
That's right.
But it was renovated by Butler Health System, and it's a wonderful place for the family services.
It is. It's a nice private location that people the families can go for their counseling and to do these different programs.
I every time I talk to you, I find out more about services that are offered there. Mm-hmm. There's now a program for parents of kids who have attention deficit.
Right.
Let's see, what's that called? Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder?
Yes.
ADHD?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, they do a lot of work with kids with that diagnosis.
I have a feeling when I was in elementary school that I had some classmates who suffered with attention deficit disorder, but nobody knew about it then.
Right.
It didn't have a name. It was certainly never diagnosed. Mm-hmm. But kids who battle that, they really need help, and families need help in dealing with them, or it's going to harm their education throughout their lives.
Right. So what's nice at Family Services is they offer the support to the parents as well as the children. So they teach them strategies to help their kids.
Most parents would have no idea how to, help a child who was battling that.
Mm-hmm.
And other counseling services, too, for families, Chris?
Yeah, I know they offer grief support. I think just general counseling. So you basically just would call their office and set up an appointment. And there's also details about it on our website, the ButlerHealthSystem.org website.
Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to be referred there by your family physician or anything. You can just call and...
Yeah, I believe that's how it works, yes.
See what's going on?
Yes.
Well, check the website.
You would just need to reach out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Carol, Caring Angel has been a staple Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month this time of the year.
That's correct.
For quite a few years now.
It has. It's been a staple that, it's kind of just a given that we partner with Butler Health System. They give so much back to our community. So if we can help out in some way, we're more than glad to do so.
What other ways does Next Tier help area nonprofits? You have what you call the Next Tier Connects program.
We do. And, a few years back, we realized that a lot of nonprofits were underserved as far as their banking needs. So we created a very comprehensive program that provides traditional banking services, savings accounts, CDs, line of credit. But then we went above and beyond and took a look at some additional services they might need, such as helping with donations, helping with actually even video production. We have a service at the bank that will actually help them collect their payments if they need directly to the bank. A lot of nonprofits are very understaffed. Mm-hmm. They really don't have the ability to hire the staffing that they would like to. So the bank really took a look, and we offered additional services to help to support them. And it's really been one of the best programs we've ever developed. It's just a win-win.
And this problem with nonprofits being understaffed, it's actually growing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen here in our immediate area, Butler County, over the past decade, any number of nonprofits that I can think of right off the top of my head that have consolidated. Mm-hmm. And now, instead of just a Butler County office, it might be two or three counties.
It's very true.
They have a regional office. They're trying to cut down on their costs and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Let alone being able to have somebody on staff who's a specialist in fundraising.
Exactly.
And that sort of thing.
And we can assist with that. And another thing, and this is kind of a sad part of our society, but a lot of customers that utilize the service of helping to collect, whether it be donations or if you're a traditional company and just are collecting your receivables, it is a real safeguard against fraud. There's just so much that goes on. So that service, helps not only for efficiencies, but also for auditing and internal control reasons.
We hear a story about fraud practically every day, whether it's nationally or locally or sometimes both.
Yeah.
The latest was yesterday from the FBI about holiday scams and scammers. They're out everywhere.
I saw it on the news, actually. I heard it on the news on my way here.
Yeah,
it's very sad. So it's a great service. So if you're a nonprofit and you're looking for support, give us a call. You can call our helpline, our call desk, which is 1-800-262-1088, and just ask for me.
We'll take a final break. Be back to wrap up our conversation with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Talking about the Caring Angel program, which will be getting underway a little bit later than usual this year in the schools because of some particular calendar issues with Thanksgiving being so late this year. And also, Chris Bowser,
yes,
the basket campaign will be starting next Tuesday,
it
right?
It will.
Can you review that for us
folks
who aren't with us at the beginning of our conversation?
We have a large basket auction that takes place at the Butler Hospital, and it's going to start on Tuesday, December 10th, and run through Tuesday, December 17th. You can purchase tickets on the weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then the weekends 11 to 3:30 in the room, in the Nixon Sarver room, located off of the tower lobby, and the tickets are 25 tickets for $10, and then we'll also have a 50-50 going on as well, and the tickets are the same price for that, the 25 for $10.
And you can review all of the various magnificent baskets online?
Yes, starting next Tuesday. Once we'll receive all the baskets on Monday, take the photos and get them up online, and then you can look at them on our website. So it's you can either go on to bhs-foundation.org or just go through the main Butler Health System website and then click to the foundation.
And the general public is encouraged to participate in this.
Yes, they are. They've really helped. You know, when this started, it was really an employee sale. Mostly just employees bought tickets, but now it's just grown so much into the community as well.
Hmm. Well, that gets underway for a week's time, starting next Tuesday.
Right, 1 week.
Mm-hmm. And there'll be the drawing.
We'll have the drawing that the last day in the evening, and then we call all the winners on Monday, December 18th. And, yeah, we have a lot of great baskets planned again, so I encourage everybody to come out and see them. And I just want to take a minute to thank Carol and Next Tier Bank again for supporting us. And they're also a business partner with the foundation as well, so they support our other events as well.
It's been news recently with Butler Health System absorbing the Clarion Health System, and I guess that was just final approval recently within the past week or so.
Yes, very exciting, yes.
Yeah. Is that going to mean more work for the foundation for you?
I don't know yet. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how everything, you know, it's all under development at this point.
Exciting news.
It is.
It speaks to the good health
of
Butler Health System, I think, for sure.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we hope everybody participates in the Caring Angel program. Certainly a great cause. And who knows? If you win one of those baskets, you're going to be smiling like a butcher's dog, Mike Lang would say.
You may need a truck to transport some of those home. I know we have kayaks coming, so.
You better make sure
you put your tickets in that you can transport it.
Chris Bowser from the Butler Health System Foundation visiting with us today. And Carol Leshensky from Next Tier Bank, Senior Vice President of the Next Tier. Always good to see you, Carol.
Always good to see you, Dave, and thanks for allowing us to come in every month.
Oh, sure. We're happy to do it. That's what we do here. And we thank our earlier guest today, too, who had some really good advice for us for a holiday food safety in terms of preparation and making sure you don't get bacterial food poisoning at a buffet or something like that. Good ideas from Penn State Extension educator Mary Alice Gettings, who was with us earlier on the program today. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Watch out if it gets slick outside. We got a little snow, and there's supposed to be more snow showers, maybe heavier later in the day today or tonight. So be careful. And it's windy and it's chilly out there today. So button up your overcoat and don't forget your mittens if you're going outside. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30, for the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.